Hi, and welcome to the CMO Alliance podcast, where we break away from the usual marketing chatter and deep dive into the most vital topics within the marketing sphere. I'm Michal, your host and your guide through candid conversation with industry's top leaders. Each episode will uncover actionable strategies, real-world case studies, and the personal stories behind their success. So, whether you're navigating tight budgets, managing cross-functional teams, or scaling growth in a competitive landscape, you've come to the right place. Today, we're joined with the lovely Paula, CMO at Rival Technologies and Reach3 Insight, who brings a wealth of experience in product marketing, sales enablement, and marketing strategy. Paula has successfully led initiatives across diverse areas, including business intelligence, demand forecasting, project and budget management. So with a strong focus on strategic planning, OKR execution, she's a true expert in driving marketing success from both the strategic and the technical perspective. How do you find this diverse experience helpful in your role nowadays as a CMO?
First, thanks for having me. Yes. So dig into my background. I feel like when you have the opportunity to play in different roles and experience and live in different environments and roles, you are able to connect the dots better in your organization. You understand the dependencies across teams. You are able to sometimes in some situations understand better or have a perspective on what are the root causes of a specific challenge that we are going through. What are the potential solutions? What are the cross dependencies, right? Which teams has to be working together to address those needs? So I think that I bring this background that's not necessarily marketing, but having played product, have played in strategic planning and revenue operations, I can see a little bit from different angles and how if we work all together, that cross alignment is so needed for us to achieve the success.
Would you mind sharing a bit about your background? So kind of like, how did your career develop? So maybe you can kind of like run me through that in a way.
Okay. So that's interesting. So I always start to say that I'm a mechanical engineer. So that was my what I went to university and that was. And I didn't know at that moment that I want to be a marketer. I just like, I like numbers. I like solving problems. And so I went super early, 17. I was starting in the university.
Wow, and 17.
I graduated at 21, so I didn't know anything. But anyways,
super impressive.
I was applying for jobs, like, okay, I'm just going to apply for internships. And I would kind of apply for every single thing from the engineer side, but also more businesses and that side. So my first internship was at Shell oil company and was in logistics, right? And then again, applying, and I went to Coca-Cola and in the marketing side. Okay, then I did more product marketing, product, right? And then after that, I was like, and then I graduated and I went to the larger telecommunication in Brazil at that moment, Oi, and I started like playing so many different roles at Oi. I spent 9 years there. There was very much like my biggest moment of growing. So I started right after I graduated, and then I left the organization to move to Canada. That was back in Brazil. So I moved to Canada after 9 years, but I already had like, I was already managing a team of 20 people at that moment. And at Oi, I played different roles, like customer segmentation. We did like, at the end, we built this area that was like driving the network expansion. So where should we play and build the network for landline, mobile, TV, broadband? And then it was like understand the demand of the market, understand the nuances of building the network and doing like investment ROI to see what is the best place for us to invest. So completely different than what I'm doing today. So then I moved to Canada. And okay, I start over, don't know anyone, and let's start again. And then I start applying for jobs. At Vancouver at that moment, 14 years ago, we had a little more smaller companies in size, and I ended up having my first job, it was a 16 people company. I left a company of 1,000 people, and then
so,
I like
yeah, it sounds as if you have a lot of transitions, right? So not only from market, so from Brazil, probably then you are targeting LATAM, I would imagine, and then moving to Canada, probably much more North America, right, etc. And then also from extreme corporate, like, or, you know, large logos such as Coca-Cola and Shell, then to a SaaS company with 16 people. So that's already a huge change, I would say. So I find that to be very interesting in your career and life journey.
Yeah. I had to say, like, I had to say, oh, whatever, whoever gives me a job, I'm going to take it, right? It's a little because when you see that, you're, like, already, like, managing.
So kind of like opportunity-based kind of like...
English as second language, all the barriers that comes with that. But then I was start really doing more close what I do today. It was like I had to do everything marketing, right? And I did a little of product management as well. We didn't have a product management, like a 16 people company. You do whatever you have to do,
yeah,
right?
You get your hands into it.
Webinars, demand gen, and like, what are the bets, where we go? So this really started. And the core thing about this was my first B2B SaaS organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that was 2011. And since then, I have been changing jobs and changing companies, but it's still in the B2B SaaS. So the last 14 years is there. I really focus and specialize more in B2B SaaS. And then I have... Mm-hmm. Different roles, but all around product marketing, sales enablement, and I have one experience that was a chief of staff to the CEO, and one of those that was super amazing, one of the highlights of my career, I think, in the last 14 years. And then now I'm the CMO of Rival Technologies and Reach 3 Insights.
So it really sounds like quite a journey, I have to say, and kind of like that you got... or kind of like acquire different backgrounds, right? So this is pretty amazing. How do you feel that it serves you today as a CMO, like everything, this kind of like journey and everything that you've kind of like learned along the way and developed?
Yeah, I think it's impressive, like how I can remember some situations I had 20 years ago at the telecommunication and how I can apply some of those skills today, right? When I had
interesting.
To do segmentation for 20 million customers for that. That was like the amount of customers they had. But the rationale behind, I haven't worked in a company as big as this one, but the rationale behind on not every customer is the same, right? And you have to think about different strategies for each one of the companies. So you can apply a lot of that, right? Project management, when I was driving the expansion of billions of dollars in a network expansion, I need to think about all the steps, who should be involved, how I evaluate where I put my money, what is the best bet for the money.
What do we double down on, yeah?
Yeah, and then after you approve that investment, how you make sure that you are executing on this with many teams involved, right, and highlighting the risks and having this communication. So there is a lot of skills that we can apply even if the function is different, but there are some skills that you learn and you can keep evolving and applying in today's roles.
Totally, 100% agree. Do you believe that there's any, you know, kind of like out of these skills or toolkit that you've developed, anything that is the most critical for the success of a CMO and their role, regardless of the industry or the size of the company?
But there are some skills that are more, I think, adapt. Like everybody talks about leadership being communication, right? That leadership is a skill that you need to have independent of the role you. Yes, of course. But there are some skills I feel like we not necessarily mention too much. And is for me, it's like adaptability and resilience. I think this is so, and I remember my first day at that telecommunication. I was 21 year old, and the president of this organization told us, like, resilience is the most important skill you need to have because things will change and you need to be able to adapt. And I remember that at first I was shocked, like such a negative messaging. And I was like, it was not, it's true. And still today, we need to be resilient. Things change. We cannot control, right? So maybe in a larger organization, maybe is less impact on external factors. But if you work, but it still happened. And if you work in a small organization, that happens, and much more, right? Like everything that your competitors change, economic factors, like you need to be able to change the course of things, and don't get frustrated. Embrace it, right? See the challenges as a good thing for you to learn. That doesn't mean that you don't need to have a plan, right? People sometimes like, oh, things gonna change.
Agree.
That's not the case. You got a plan. Mm-hmm. But then you need to be able to shift and adapt a plan faster.
100% agree. I think that being agile, right? It's all about being agile, flexible, adaptable. You know, like I also like this phrase, kind of like don't fall in love with your project, or don't fall. Nowadays, it's even don't fall in love in the product, because even the product may change, right? So I think that us marketeers, we really need to be extremely resilient and also positive in a way, like not to take anything kind of like with any negativity, but kind of like, okay, this is the reality. Now, how do we operate in the best way? So with that, I agree.
Other skills like dependability. You need to ensure, like for me, it's my brand too. People need to rely on me. When I say that I'm going to deliver, I will deliver, right? So that people has to trust that when Paula is involved in a project and her team, we have a credibility and a trust that we're going to deliver. And one other one that I feel like I adopt, and I feel that's important, openness. Because I don't know everything. I am far from knowing everything. I have some more experience than most of my team members. But I hire people that are smarter than me in their specific subject area, right? The expertise area. And I wanted them to show me what I'm not seeing. As I always say, I always play saying, I always going to have an opinion. I need to make a decision at the end, but I want you to challenge me, right? Show me what I'm not seeing and tell me what I'm wrong, because I'll be wrong. So I think that that idea that, oh, because you are the CMO or because you're the executive or the leader of the department, you know better than anyone, that's completely wrong, right? So and then I can learn. I'm still learning, and I want to keep learning. So I want to count on my team to help me this journey as well.
Could not have said it better than how you just framed that. So talking about being, you know, like reliable and having like the team credibility, I know that you've worked quite a lot with strategic planning and OKR execution. And that's, I think, very relevant and highly important to any type of business, right? To be able to define the OKRs and then also execute them on the best way possible. Are there any kind of like best practices that you can share, you know, from your experience about how to really set up OKRs and then also execute on them, which is far more important?
Of course. I think the first step is people need to understand why you want to implement OKRs, right?
Yeah. So by the way, some organizations do not work with OKRs. I mean, like, I think that, you know, like maybe for you and I, it's kind of like a different setting, but some organizations, they simply don't use that. So they have other maybe strategies, or they don't plan at all because everything is just done super quickly that they don't even have time to follow through a plan. So it really depends also on the product maturity, et cetera. Yeah.
And there are different frameworks, right? OKR is one of them. Doesn't matter. You can apply whatever framework you want to, but you have to think about what is that strategy? What is the company wants to be, right? You are here today. Where do you want to get to, right? This is important to get your teams, the whole organization aligned on. People need to buy into that vision, right? And that the OKRs will help you to decide what are the steps we believe you need to take to get from A to B, right? And get people understand why we're doing this, right? We are doing this because we all want to have the same goal. I always make this mention about soccer. I am Brazilian, so I love soccer.
Soccer is a big thing in your life, probably.
It's a big thing in my life until today with my kids playing soccer. So when you think about soccer as a team, right? And every player has a different role on that team, right? And the most successful teams are the ones that can play as a team, right? They understand every player role. They understand how they work together. And they all understand that the end goal is a score. right? Of course, it's a simple analogy, but it's like they want to score and they win the game. So they all align with that and they all understand their roles there, right? Mm-hmm. So of course, if you you have to have talent players, but doesn't mean that only talent players will have your team to win, right? If they are individual talent, maybe they're not going to win because they need the whole team, right? So I think it's the same thing on organization. We all, if we understand where we want to get to, the end goal, you understand how product works with marketing, that works with CSM, each team, what they bring to the table, and how we collaborate, we're going to get there, right? And then if you're not, the importance of the OKR too is like getting this alignment. Everyone understands what are the core objectives and where, how they're going to play there. What are the dependencies across the teams? And then you can cascade from the company OKRs to the department OKRs, even to the individual's OKRs, right? So that's the first thing you have to do. Have this conversation. Embrace people to provide feedback. Don't do this isolation, this active team, right? You cannot like have the whole organization sometimes participate in one call, but you can make people to have their voices heard and their ideas. Then you build this, and then you have to track against indicators, right? So it has to be objective and key results. Like you need to have metrics to see how you're performing against those OKRs. Sometimes maybe you need to change because something happened, you change the OKR, but the most important is like find a cadences in your organization on how we're going to track and get people aligned on the progress of your OKRs. And I think that and sometimes you're going to join an organization that doesn't have it, but don't also don't wait for them. Why don't you go and try to give the idea and say, hey, what if we do that? I can help. I will raise my hand and help, right? Especially if you're an executive team, you need to help independence if you have someone that's already taken this role and how you can help, or maybe you're going to have to drive it.
Thank you very much for sharing that. Like now having hearing your, you know, thoughts about it, one very clear kind of like word that comes to my mind is the need in clarity, right? So for people, for the organization to know what are the business goals, right? But then also for the sub departments to understand the clarity of their goals. And then, as you said, leading to the individual. So to really know, what am I supposed to do in the team? What are my contributions? How can I measure myself, etc.? So clarity, I think that it's also a big pillar of the whole OKR setup. Do you agree on that?
Totally. And the visibility as well. Like people want to see what's going on. We have to share.
Agree.
The clarity for me, what helps me with my team is like it helps with priority. We're always going to have more than we can do, right? So I always challenge them and say, oh, I have this, help me prioritize. And I say, okay, what are the goals? What are the company goals? What are the things that you feel that align best with the company goals, right?
Yeah.
There are things that is a nice to have, but it's not a must have. And there are other things that are noisy, like why we are doing this now, right?
Oh, yeah. I know that question. But why now? Why now?
Why now? Is this the most important use of your time, right? Your time is investment, right? And so how is the best use of your time to drive the team and the company forward? So that help us to have a mindset on prioritization as well, how we prioritize. Every day I woke up and say, okay, what is the best use of my time? Right? What are the company goals? So, okay, this I can wait a little bit. This is the one I have to tackle first.
Yeah. I'm going to move to another interesting topic that touched base also with OKRs, and it's around, you know, project and budget management. So I would say that these are mainly, you know, like the most essential kind of like ideas that you need to do in any leadership role, right? So how do you leverage these skills to manage large marketing initiatives such as what you're driving at the moment? How do you keep them also aligned with the business goals, especially, I would say, the budget topic, right?
Yeah. I think it has to be like those are fundamental tasks or skills or task, whatever we want to call it. But I don't think it's just about the CMO. It's about everyone should have this. The budget manager maybe falls more into the CEO or maybe the department leaders, like their function leaders that have their own budget in some organizations, or channel leaders that have their own budget. but is the CMO. And the budget for me is the most important thing. Why is it important? It's because it's kind of how you invest your money, right? You want to make sure that you invest it's not your money in the case of the company, but you have to have the same mindset as how you invest your own money, right? Where is the best bet for me to put this money to get higher impact, to drive higher results, better results, right? So that's kind of the idea. And you need to understand for me, it's like I always know how I'm performing against my budget, how my expenses against my budget.
How do you do that, if I may ask? I mean, is that just like really close, monthly reporting that you have for yourself? Or?
Yeah, we do have. I do have. You have to work very close with finance teams, right? There are tools out there. I work for a company that has a tool that help mm-hmm. with that budget and planning. But depends on the complexity. You're going to use an Excel and you have calls with the finance team and make sure that the way you allocate is the same way they are seen, because the views are different from finance and marketing. I try mm-hmm. to bring them aligned to the way I manage and I build my budget, but sometimes it's different. So you have to have this, okay, they see this, I see that, and we have this alignment. And that's important. So I use Excel today. The company that I work for today doesn't need to have more than an Excel and I can manage this. But the most important thing is not the most effective, but we're going to get there in a moment that's going to be so absurd that I need a tool. But the most important for me is the more I know how I'm performing against my budget, the more freedom I have to make decisions, right? And faster. Imagine mm-hmm. if something came up or there is an initiative that you would like someone brought up that was not in the plan. We want to invest. And then we have investment. It was not planned. So if I know how I'm performing against my budget, I can I can shift money from one bucket to another one.
True.
Right? And you can make that decision faster without, okay, now I need to sit down with finance. Now I need to conciliate all the lines in the budget. So that you lose time and speed. Mm-hmm. So important sometimes. Important.
I also believe that, CMO and CFOs, they have to be best friends. Meeting on a, not even just weekly basis, even, sometimes even more, but just really keeping close alignment and sharing kind of the same vision. Otherwise, from my experience, it's very hard to reach success. So it's very important, CMOs and CFOs, not lovers, not enemies, but lovers in a way.
About the Spencer also, right? The CFO is going to ask you, as the CMO should know, is how you're impacting the company.
Of course. And then it's better to be prepared already, as you said, but then it's not only for the CFO. I would say it's even for you, right? You want to know how are you moving according to your vision. So, yeah.
And I challenge my team to say, hey, this is also your investment. Think about is that you believe that investment that you want us to make in this specific initiative is the best for the team? Is this the best way, the best bet for us to get to the outcome aligned with our OKRs, right? And think about mm-hmm. that as well as you are also part of managing this budget. It's not like the CMO. We all should be onboarded with that idea, and because mm-hmm. we all want to get to the same outcome.
So as you said, like a team. Yeah. So for CMOs that are looking to elevate their career and out of your very diverse experience and background, what advice would you give them? For an aspiring CMO or an aspiring marketing leader that would love to leverage their past experience and kind of build their skill set for the future of their career and reach an executive level and role?
Yeah, I think the first one is a broaden your reach, right? I think sometimes you're this is what I do, this is what I like, I'm going to keep here. There is this path that you're going to be the best at one area. But I think as you move up in the organization, or you want that, the more you understand the ecosystem, the better. So yeah, keep evolving the marketing, but try to learn skills that are outside of the marketing, right? How sales, how the mechanics mm-hmm. in sales, the mechanics in product, right? The customer success, finance, how you read a company statement, how you understand what are the things that we should get better. So the more you add those skills to your toolkit, I think the better. I think I would be also another one that I can think of is like, don't be afraid to take risks. I think one of my perspective and my experience, I always took, if there was an opportunity coming, I always took it.
It really sounds like it. And you have an amazing career experience, right?
And maybe it could be better. I don't know. But I was always trying to say, okay, do you want to do this? Like a network expansion? I don't know how to do this. Oh, website? Like I haven't done that before. And I was like, okay, I will learn. Right? And I'm not lying to the people that I know how to do it, but I'm saying, okay, I you have my commitment, let's go together and let's take the risk together. And that worked out well for me, and I had fun in every single different position that I took that I haven't done before, and some of them more successful than others, of course, but I felt like today I'm the professional I am because all those risks that I took on my way, my journey to today.
Mm-hmm. So for me, hearing that, one word that comes to my mind is about being brave, or maybe having the courage to try things out that you've never done before in your life, and not being afraid of that, right? So
yes. And be curious. Yeah. I think there's another one, it's be curious, right? Like ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask like dummy questions. Like, I don't know what I don't know. So let's ask questions. Let's see how you can. I remember a couple of times I had this curiosity and I sat down with some peers on other teams and like they're going for a challenge. I said like, okay, I'm not involved, but walk me through your challenges. And sometimes you're surprised with how your perspective that is not so involved in the day-to-day can give them some ideas on how to approach that challenge in a different way. Right? And that builds trust and that builds the partnership. And then like now you're working better because you took the time also to try to help them outside of your scope area.
Cool. So one final question, which is more for the fun aspect. Do you have any life motto, something that you would like to share or some final thoughts around the podcast interview for today?
Be yourself. I think beginning of my career, I heard a lot of people say, oh, outside of this door, I'm one person. Inside of this door, I'm another person. Like the separation.
Like a differentiation between like a business persona and kind of like who you really are in your actual life.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
I feel like I'm Paula. You get the good and the bad when you have me. Of course, like, there are some things that you're not going to do. You're going to do with your friends. You're not going to do with your colleagues. But the authenticity and you being yourself, it's going to make your life easier. Like you spend so much time working. So my team see me crying, laughing. So that all comes together with Paula. So I think like you have to be yourself to do your best. Mm-hmm. I don't pretend that you're something that you're not. There are things that you have to evolve and develop and have fun. I think for me, it's like I need to enjoy what I'm doing. And if you have fun, doesn't mean that you're treating things seriously. I think you can be professional and give the time and concern that the things deserve. But you can also have fun on the way.
I 100% agree. I think that having fun, it's one, like for me now, it's one of the most important things in life, you know, because like, you spend so much time at work. I mean, when you think about it, you know, like most of the hours of our day are allocated to work. So if you're not having fun, how can you do it? You know, it's like, sounds impossible.
Find a company.
Yeah. And I just want maybe to stretch something. Like, I don't mean that everything needs to be fun 100% of the time. This is not what we're referring to. Maybe it's more kind of like moments of joy, moments of fun, but like in general, to be happy also in your role and with the team.
And I think like, if you're not happy, like it's not sometimes the company, like you need to find the environment that best fits your moment in life. Right. So yeah. Fine, don't be working like, oh my God, I have to go to work. There's some days, of course, yeah. We have that, but like, has to be most of the time you are like happy to go to work and do some good job and work with your team members, right?
Agree.
Yeah.
Okay, then, Paula, then, thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of CMO Conversation. We hope you find today's conversation insightful and helpful. If you enjoyed this episode, so be sure to subscribe to our channel and hit the bell icon so you don't miss out on any future discussion. So stay tuned for more episodes, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. For more content like this, check the recommended videos on your screen now. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a thing.